Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, on this very holy day, thank you for the great gifts you have sent us, the shining star, the angel song, the shepherd's call, and the infant born in a lowly manger. Be born in us, abide in us, and send us with your love that changes the world. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you again for being here, for celebrating the Christ child, for gathering with friends and neighbors, and for showing one another that the news of Christ's birth does indeed change the world. And because Christmas reminds me of all sorts of nostalgic things, I thought I'd start this morning's sermon with a story I learned from my dad, who is no longer with us. It's told of a professor of psychology who spent many hours constructing a new driveway at his home. Just after he smoothed the surface of the freshly poured concrete, his small children chased a ball across the driveway, leaving deep footprints. Frustrated, as you can imagine, the man yelled at them angrily, and his wife shocked, said, "You are a psychologist who teaches people to love children." To which he shouted back, "I love children in the abstract, just not in the concrete." Yes, it's a groaner. That was my dad. Before Christmas, God was an abstraction. God was above us. God was unreachable. At Christmas, God is made concrete. God entered our world as a human being, and not just any human being, but a baby. And you are here today to follow the angel's call, just like the shepherds did, to see this thing that has taken place. Unlike the child psychologist who didn't welcome interruptions to his carefully laid plans, the shepherds follow the angel's calling to go and see and be part of the story of God made flesh in Jesus. The shepherds were moved from an idea about God far away to an experience with God. Called by the angels, Jesus' birth became part of their story. And that's what the angels call us to today as well. Christmas calls us to find meaning in concrete places in our lives. Christ's birth is for us, Christ's birth is with us, and Christ's birth is in us, and Christmas is the moment we really pay attention. I love what Father Ron Rollheiser said when he was asked what Christmas message he had for his church. He simply said, "Christmas is a special opportunity for us to receive God's love." And someone replied, "But why just at Christmas? Isn't God the same all year round?" And Rollheiser said, "Yes, God is, but we aren't." That might be true, it might not be true. We're all kind of saint sinner all the time, but at Christmas there is this special spirit. As we recall the age-old story, the census ordered by Caesar Augustus that led Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, we recall the time for Mary to give birth. We recall the circumstances of Christ's birth, having no room in the inn, wrapping Christ in bands of cloth and laying him in a manger. We recall the good news of the angels and the obedience of the shepherds. And I think what Rollheiser was getting at is that how often do we recall this story outside of this season? Somewhere tucked in our heads is this life-changing story, but it's so easy to keep it as just an idea in our head and not an experience in our hearts and our lives. So this Christmas, I ask, where do you find yourself in the story? Where in your life does this story move you from an idea to an experience of God's love? Wherever you hurt and wherever you celebrate this day, know this: God's birth, or God's incarnation, is made real in Jesus. Christ's birth is not just an idea, it actually happened, and it keeps changing the world. God comes into the world and turns our expectations upside down. He came as a baby, vulnerable, dependent on Mary and Joseph. He entered the world not as a wealthy ruler, but born into a poor family from a little-known town, little-known village in Galilee. He grew up in this real family with real struggles. And it is the very humanness of Christ's birth that gives us hope. Because as Martin Luther says so wisely, the manger and the cross are never far apart. Both the manger and the cross hold more than meets the eye. Both the manger and the cross make Jesus' love concrete in unexpected ways. Just like Jesus does throughout his entire life. As you come throughout the year, you hear stories like Jesus bringing peace to calm storms, like making two loaves of bread and five fish feed 5,000 people, like Jesus giving sight to the blind, like calling the meek and the peacemakers in the morning blessed, like bringing life out of the very thing we try to avoid, the cross. The manger and the cross are the places where Christ's love is most fully known. They are the places where Christ's life and our lives intersect, because Christ's love is more than an idea. So let me close with one of my favorite Christmas stories told by Frederick Buechner. It's about his pastor friend's Christmas pageant one year. As is typical in most Christmas church pageants, the manger was down in front at the chancel steps. Mary was in her blue robe and Joseph in his cotton beard. The wise men were there with a handful of shepherds, and of course, in the midst of them all, the Christ child was there laying in the manger. This is the scene. They just stood there, as often happens, as Luke 2 was being read, the passage Pastor Callan just read. And it all went like clockwork until the congregation started singing Glory to God in the Highest, and the children dressed like angels were robed in white and happened to be sitting with their parents throughout the pews of the church. They got up and went to the manger. And there were so many of them that they began crowding each other out and jockeying for position until one of the smallest girl angels was so far away from the action that she couldn't even see what was going on. As soon as the congregation sang those beautiful words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all, this small girl was frustrated enough at having her view of Jesus blocked that when the song finished and there was a notable pause, without hesitation, she cried out, let Jesus show. And Buechner says that even though there was a lot more of that Christmas pageant left in the service, the pastor decided to end the service right there. Let Jesus show, the child cried out. And while the congregation was still sitting in stunned silence, he gave the benediction, and everybody filed out of the church with those unforgettable words ringing in their ears. So on this Christmas Eve morning, I end this sermon the same way. As you come to worship the Christ child this day, I pray that you let Jesus show not only today, but every day of the year. Love is made real through the birth of Jesus, and this love changes everything. Receive it, live it, love it, let Jesus show. Thanks be to God. Amen.